On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Online with the free app and on air at 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
How's it going?
I'm John Potter, 884-9910. Was a great topic there, talking about fruit trees. And they deluge of plums. Now, did you give me this information? You put this up for me here, Craig, about the Reno Gleaning Project?
That is correct, yes.
And it says there's on their website, it says click to request picking.
They will come and pick your fruit for you.
And I check this out here. First off, all my friends have tons of plums. As I said, the ones that survive when they fall. I would love to have them come and pick. The problem is you need an extremely tall ladder, and it is, told me, that it's a liability issue.
Look at the picture scroll down and says where it says who we are.
Right.
And on the left side, there's a picture. Right below that, there is actually a capture basket that's on a pole that they reach up.
Oh, and they shake the tree?
It's like a... if you look at it, it looks like a high life.
Oh, I didn't know they did that. Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's on a pole and it goes in it. They grab it and bring it
down. Appreciate that because, Kathy and I were talking about, hey, let's give this to some food bank or something, but I just didn't worry about people getting up on that tall, super tall ladder that we have. All right. Well, check that call out. I appreciate you telling me that. All right, here he is in the studio. It's Chef Mark. Chef Mark.
Yay.
He's been in Reno since 1985. What's your past history with restaurants,
Chef Mark? Mustang Ranch. Remember the Mustang Ranch? Worked at the Mustang Ranch for Joe and Sally back in 1985.
And you were just telling me, because we were talking about the remnants of the hurricane moving in, you were just telling me that the Mustang Ranch flooded?
Yeah, it was 1986, actually, I believe. And it came over the roads in town and everything, and came through the Mustang so fast. I mean, some of the girls were working, some of them were sleeping. But before you knew it, it was 2 feet coming through, a river coming right through the ranch. And they were running out and 2 feet of water, and the guy in the skip loader was picking them up and taking them across the bridge, and they were half naked.
I appreciate you cleaning up that story from what you were telling me during the news, but apparently some of the ladies, it was so sudden. What's that, Craig? Oh, sure, yeah. You were telling me that they were running out naked.
Yeah. Some of them had bottoms on, some of them had tops on, some of them had a sock hanging from their foot.
I never heard the story about the Mustang Ranch flooding, but, you know, back in their old location, they were near the river.
Yeah, too bad I didn't have a phone with a video camera back then.
Apart from that, how was the food?
The food was good. The food was good. The girls are spoiled.
Some of the best food in Reno has been in brothels or strip clubs, like the Reno Men's Club. I hear raves about that food, from what I hear.
I actually helped open that place.
Did you really?
In 94, yeah.
Oh, that is so interesting.
Love the sushi.
I was about to say that, Craig. The sushi there, well-renowned at the Reno Strip Club, from what I hear.
Yeah, it was a good chef there, too, at that time. I mean, it was just opening, and I guess all the people came from Texas.
Yeah.
And trained all the girls and trained everybody. And
now, we could talk about the Mustang Ranch for an hour, I know, but apart from that, did you work at any restaurants?
Gold and Silver Inn, Reno Hilton, Gold Dust West. Worked at the Gold Dust West.
Excellent. You know, I was just thinking about this now. All the restaurants that we loved back in the day, you came in 85, I came here in 78, and we're losing the Gold and Silver, of course. But when I think of the great restaurants that we had here, Vario's, the Glory Hole, Two Guys from Italy, the Christmas Tree, Liberty Bell, out of all the restaurants that we had and loved here in the Reno area, which one survives? The Jim Boy's Taco.
Jim Boy's Taco is pretty good, actually. But I worked at the Glory Hole, too. As a matter of fact.
But of all the restaurants to survive, oh, my gosh, I used to love Flaky Jake's. We had some great restaurants. And who survives? Jim Boy's Tacos.
Love Jeremiah's.
Jeremiah's you love? Where's Jeremiah's?
Jeremiah's
used to be on Plum and
Kitsky. Well, it's gone now. Yeah, that was good. But of all the survivors, we have Jim Boy. I'm not honest. Obviously, I'm not the biggest fan. I think they're a bit greasy.
They are a little greasy, yeah. But you know, I know the guy there, and he likes salmon a lot. So
good
I bring him salmon. We trade. All right, for tacos.
While you're here, we got to get people to come out next Saturday for the third annual First Responders Appreciation Dinner.
Yes, sir.
Saluting our heroes. This is your third annual. How was it last year?
Last year was good. I mean, we were struggling a little bit at the end. My car broke down and everything, and had to borrow my mom's car and rushing around. And then the girl I hired to go pick up everything, because the last week is just picking up, going to Bonanza Produce, going to all the purveyors, Model Dairy, and everybody to pick up everything. She forgot the produce. Friday, it was on the dock at 4:30, and they're closed over the weekend.
This time it's going to be a lot smoother. You have worked so hard on this to honor our courageous first responders. What did the first responders get there?
They get a free dinner and live music.
Live music?
Free dinner,
amazing food, raffle, silent auction.
Appreciation?
Now, I offered my services there. I'd like to bring my wife, too. What are you going to have me do there, Chef Mark?
You're going to be on the mic.
Uh-oh.
Working with Don.
Oh, that sounds like
working
trouble.
We're going with Don on the raffle, and there's going to be it's supposed to be three bands. I got two right now, so I need one more. So if anybody out there wants to play, it would be probably between 8 and 10 o'clock.
The event starts at 5 o'clock Saturday, American Legion Hall Post 1. That's at Ralston.
877 Ralston Avenue.
Ralston Street in Reno. Tickets, of course, been sold online, still are, but also at the door. Show up at the door around 5 o'clock.
A $20 raffle ticket will get you to all 10 raffles, and the grand prize is a night at Airbnb in Verde, Nevada, and then a 5-course steak and lobster dinner prepared by your personal chef, Mark Silva.
That's you.
And a limousine will take you to the casino to...
For
a show or whatever you want to go for, and bring you back home.
For folks who want to make sure they get in, how do they buy tickets right now?
They could call me at 775-870-8591, or they could email me at chefsilvaypc, your personal chef, at gmail.com.
Craig, if anybody calls there in Carson, write that down, 870-8591, to call Mark and get your tickets for this evening of excitement. The third annual First Responders Appreciation Dinner. You say I'm on the microphone. What do you want me to do on the microphone?
What you do.
Make
people laugh.
Oh, no.
You know, do what you do, you do what you do. It's like me being in the kitchen.
Well, that leads to me being cut off in mid-sentence, as we saw what happened.
Help with the raffle, you know, and picking the raffle ticket out of the bucket.
Okay, yeah, well, I'll have fun with that. You got a silent auction. I love those things. What's in the silent auction?
What prizes
do we have in the silent auction?
Donna's taking care of all that, but I do have this one old pair of shoes that were like, I don't know, I think the 30s or 40s or something. They're like those black and white ones. I don't know what they're called, but somebody's going to think they're pretty interesting.
Wingtips.
But there's other stuff.
Wingtips, right?
Yeah. Right?
Well, where else can you get that, folks?
The white and black ones, you know, and they're in really good condition, too. And my mom was like, I think I can sell them somewhere.
So what's the food? What's the dinner? You're the executive chef here. Well, what are we serving?
We are serving teriyaki-style kebabs with, that would be steak, shrimp, and chicken, teriyaki-style kebabs with a pineapple rice pilaf.
Good Lord.
And
And, this is Mustang Ranch food, right?
The House of Bread will be doing some pastries. And we'll have a salad, a spring mix salad, you know, with gorgonzola crumbles, candied pecans, shaved red onions, raspberry vinaigrette dressing. It's going to be a great time.
Wow, House of Bread. I was just there on Thursday, House of Bread. Good stuff.
House of Bread. I got a lot of help from a lot of people. Yeah, I mean, it's one mentioned. Sierra Gold Seafood, Bonanza Produce, Overhead Door, Godfather's Pizza, Graphics Unlimited, all the way down the line, Silver Blue, right. Scoopers.
Well, there you go,
Scoopers,
folks.
Scoopers has good burgers.
We're coming together to honor our courageous first responders. They're the ones who selflessly answer the call when you need them the most. And we're going to have the firefighters and the police and the ambulance personnel all there to be part of something special.
And there's a billboard up on McCarran and Greg. If you take McCarran and go towards Greg, right when you pass the intersection, digital billboard on the left-hand side.
Excellent. Chef Mark, folks, I'll see you there Saturday starting at 5 o'clock, American Legion Hall, Ralston Street in Reno. I know you're a very busy man. I really appreciate you coming in again to really push this event. Well, I can't wait to meet you all there, too. So, Chef Mark, thank you. Going to take a break.
You, thank you.
Yes, yes. We're going to be talking Genoa Candy Dance up next. I'm John Potter on 99.1, 92.3 FM News Talk Time, 1017.
Is FM Talk.
There is a house in your life.
Hi, folks. John Potter, 884-9910. Craig, is that David from Genoa on the phone? Oh, okay. Colleen, I thought you were David.
I am David.
There's David. Okay, Colleen, hang around for 10 minutes because, yeah, go out there. Have some coffee. We have a coffee machine. You got yours. Okay. Colleen, yes, Westlake, Washoe County School Board is here. Oh, we're going to talk about the first week of school. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John.
When is the Genoa Candy Dance on schedule for?
Yes, the Candy Dance is scheduled for September 23rd and 24th, the last full weekend in September. That's the best way to remember it.
David, this thing just keeps getting bigger and bigger. I remember going to this in 1978, and there were some ladies who had some folding tables and set up and sold their candies and sweets and a couple of bakery items. There were only like, I think, a dozen, and they were on folding tables in the middle of downtown Genoa with the general store there and the old bar and everything. And now the last time I went to it, David, was, I think, 5 years ago, and it's a metropolis, I mean, which is great, you know, you get to show off Genoa, and for people who, you know, they love being in Genoa, it is such a treat to go there. So what do you have for this year in September?
We have, for September, about 400 handcrafted vendors. We have numerous places to eat. We have the United States Marines from the Mountain Warfare Training Center parking cars for us this year. We have some excellent sponsors from this year, and we have hopefully keeping our fingers crossed for some great weather.
Awesome. This is how it's changed here, folks. You have Wi-Fi now at the Candy Dance. Along with your service of parking, people, they volunteer to park? And where do you drive to have them park for you?
We have three different parking lots that we use. Actually, one is the Genoa Cemetery on the Jacks Valley Road. We have the main lot on Genoa Lane, which is a big section of Ranch 1. And then we have another large parcel to park cars on, which is also from Ranch 1, but it's off of Foothill. And in years past, go ahead.
Okay, years past, go ahead.
Oh, in years past, we've used nonprofit groups to park cars in the three different lots. And nice. This year, we decided to go with just one big group, being the United States Marines, and they're trying to raise money to go to the Marine Corps ball. So we thought we might help them out, and the town gives them a sizable donation for helping us park cars.
I think 5 years ago, I was staying at David Wally's, and they had a shuttle bus. You'd park there, and now people who are not staying there, they probably don't want you to park at David Wally's and take the shuttle bus. Or is that possible?
I don't know if David Wally's actually has a shuttle bus, but we do have DART that will drive you from our parking lots into the event. Okay. David Wally's, also known as Holiday Inn Club Vacations, is one of our sponsors this year.
Great.
They've been fantastic to work with for the town of Genoa.
So you gave us an amazing number of vendors. Give us some examples of some of the vendors that people would really enjoy there.
We have jewelry vendors. We have people who carve items out of wood. We have homemade Christmas ornaments and other ornaments. We have carved gourds. We have food vendors of all types, shapes, and sizes. We have excellent music at this year's Candy Dance dinner. By the way, tickets for which are on sale as we speak. And if people want to purchase tickets, they can reach out to genoanevada.org or call us at 775-782-8696. And those tickets are going fast. And we have John King from Nashville, and we have Dakota Wass from Carson City, Minden area opener.
This is the dinner dance now you're talking about.
This is the dinner dance, which started the whole thing back in 1919.
Oh, my gosh. Did you correct? I got to double check here. Did you say 400 vendors?
Yes, 400
in Genoa?
Vendors.
400 vendors in Genoa for the candy dance.
Yeah. Yes, and if you want to see a transition, come to Genoa anytime right now and then come on Candy Dance, and it looks like totally different place.
I know. It's incredible. It's like going to Goldfield on the first visit and then New York City the next. 400 vendors.
Yes.
It's huge. It's almost bigger than Hot August Nights if you walk along that mile on the main drag, which is a very nice walk, by the way. I really enjoy it there. I think it's great. I mean, this is not changing Genoa into a metropolis by any means. This is just for 2 days, and it just goes back to the sleepy little Mayberry that it was before then. You live in Genoa, don't you? And how long have you been there?
I do not. I actually live in Minden, Nevada, but I can see Genoa from the front of my house, so I'm close.
And you obviously are a big fan of Genoa, like I am.
I am. I'm a huge fan of Genoa, and I love the small town flavor, and they do retain that. And the reason that they continue to do the candy dance, not only is it just tradition, but it's a large revenue income for the town itself. We have a very, very small budget annually, and this really, really gets us through the year by having this event, as long as it's successful. Now, COVID hit in 2020, and we had to cancel at that time, but that's one of the few times that it was ever canceled. This will be the 104th year for the Genoa Candy Dance.
I'm sure there are many people who wonder and admire and want to know Genoa's secret of how do they prevent the growth and the golden arches and the apartment complexes and things that Reno just can't seem to stop. Reno just goes along with every developer idea brought up. I'm sure there are many people who would love to live in Genoa. If you go to the center of town, it's almost exactly like it was in 1920. There is growth, though, on Jacks Valley Road. There are some new housing developments midway, I think, between Carson City and Genoa that are making Jacks Valley Road, which is probably the route you take from Minden. Oh, no, you don't. You're further down. Okay, your foothill, right?
Yes, I come up Mueller, or sometimes Mueller, I come up Genoa Lens. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's
and
a
there
very...
is growth. There's absolutely, John, there's growth out on the north end. It's in the zip code of Genoa. It's 89411. The preserve at Genoa Ranch is building some beautiful houses out there as well. They are one of our sponsors, as is Nova Tile and Stone. If you need a new kitchen, you can go there. With that being said, yes, we have some growth, not necessarily in town. There's only a few vacant lots left in the actual town of Genoa, and they are currently privately held. None of them are for sale. Once in a while, a house will creep up on the MLS, but it's usually gone within 20 days for sure. Yeah. And the people that live there, they love the dirt roads. They love the peacefulness of the area. And it's just a wonderful place to be. I love spending time
there.
It
sure is.
So.
And let's hope they keep a cap on that growth. And it's always a great escape to go from busy getting bigger Reno to a nice, quiet Mayberry where the deer are always crossing the road as you walk with your coffee. I love that about Genoa. All right, David, we'll see you in September for the Candy Dance, folks. I guess you can Google search Genoa Candy Dance and have yourself a great time. Thanks for joining the show, David. Appreciate it.
Thank you, John, for having me.
All right, sir. We're going to break for Fox News, and then we're going to bring back Washoe County School Board member Colleen Westlake to talk about the first week of school and your public schools here in town. 884-9910 if you have questions or comments about that. Going to break for Fox News now, 99.1 and 92.3 FM News Talk Time, 1030.
On an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
For sure, for sure. 1036 our time. I'm John Potter. Phone lines are open, 884-9910. We're talking schools now. In the studio with us is Washoe County School Board member Colleen Westlake. Started her term this year. Passionate about kids. Has taught dance and coached sports. She's been working in the dental field for over 30 years, and she ran for the school board, and she won.
Yes.
and she's doing great, and we just had the first week of school. Colleen, welcome to this show. And how did we all do on the first week of school?
Well, there's always going to be bumps, but it's how you handle those bumps and navigate those bumps.
I didn't hear about any bumps.
Well, at J. Wood Raw, which I was at the ribbon cutting prior to the first day there on Monday. And of course, traffic's a nightmare. People, you know, they're confused about where to go and they forget they're in school zones. But the district got on it immediately and got officers out there to direct people, get all of the disaster. No disaster happened. Thank you. Thank you, God. But just to avoid and to get people prepared.
It's always like this the first week.
It is. It gets crazy. And then I know Nami Dewar, she was going to go and meet with the Parent Teachers Association there and get a plan on how to move forward with the traffic situation out there. So that's being handled. We had some HVAC problems in one of our older schools. I was at Lemelson STEM for the first day of school, and HVAC problems, but they were working on getting that taken care of.
Now, the way the fans aren't enough for schools with no or not working AC, because back in the day, we didn't have AC. Now it's a necessary item, and it's expensive.
It is
over $1 million per school, or I think I heard.
It does break down. Unfortunately, some of the older units, but in the process.
A big fan isn't enough.
Yeah. No.
Well, no, I'm just saying, back in the day, it was not imperative to have super cold air conditioning in the schools. About issues about transportation, I am hearing about the new Washoe County transportation policy where if your kids live around 3 miles from school, they have to walk half the way to get the bus. I guess they lengthened the distance where your kids have to walk to the bus stop. Some parents obviously feel it's too far and in some areas too unsafe for the kids. And I just talked about Reno not being a very walkable city just last Saturday. So what is this having to do with a shortage of the drivers or?
No, in fact, we've shortened the walk zone. We shortened the walk zone for kids. It was increased when there was, you know, there was a finance shortage, money shortage. Okay. The school district hit some rough patches when the economy slowed down, had to make some really tough decisions. Glad that I wasn't there at that time because that would have been a hard one to lengthen the walk.
So what I'm hearing is the parents talking about the year before then. You
yes,
say you shortened.
Yes, we shortened the walk zones and we have budgeted for more bus drivers because if you shorten the walk zone, you're going to need more bus drivers because you're going to have to create more bus zones. So we have, hopefully, we just takes time to fill those positions, but we did shorten the walk zones because we felt it was a definite safety issues. We hit four safety agenda items mm-hmm. for coming up. It's just we've got to fill those positions now with bodies. But
so you have openings, people
yes,
can check out.
Yes,
okay.
The walk zones, no standalone principals because there were some of our elementary schools that had standalone principals. That's a recipe for disaster because if something is going on in, say, room 24C and requires the principal, and then something's happening in 15A, she can't split herself. So there's no longer going to be standalone principals in the elementary schools.
What
That's
replaces that?
An assistant principal.
Oh, an assistant. Okay.
Yes.
Well, speaking of the safety issue, that high-tech alert system where the teachers push a badge that they're wearing to notify police has been delayed by a shortage of workers and materials from the company that makes these things. It's a $4.8 million system that also sets off strobe lights in and out of schools after when the teacher or school worker pushes
activates
it. Let me ask you this before we get to the hang up on this. What was wrong with activating, again, I'm thinking back to how we used to do it. What was wrong with activating a fire alarm and announcing over the intercom?
So activating the fire alarm, that's going to alert our fire.
That's fine. I mean, if there's an emergency at the school, we would go out and somebody, the teacher, somebody would pull the fire alarm. We did drills over this.
Yeah.
We did drills where we would orderly go out the school when they heard the fire alarm. And we had an intercom system, too, telling the kids and everything, stay in line and walk out the school. What was wrong with that system? Why do we have to go to a $4.8 million high-tech system?
John.
I'm sorry, what?
I can tell you.
Oh, Craig is going to educate me again.
Yes.
Go ahead, Craig.
Well, because because
he's in Carson City.
Oh, okay. Go. Hi, Craig.
Hello. Because basically the fire alarm is a direct wire to the fire department and they will respond and the police will not know that it's a police action that's needed. And so you'll get the wrong agency showing up.
I guess that's sufficient. You agree with that?
I do agree with that. I was in favor of this, and that's a big number, but here's the problem. If something is occurring in a classroom and the teacher wants to be there to observe and to try and bring the temperature down, but as a single-bodied person, she's got to make her way to the phone line, hope that the circuits aren't jammed, going to the office with other, maybe not emergent things, but, you know, people calling the office. Hey, can you check? Johnny Smith didn't show up in my classroom. Can you phone mom? Which is a safety thing also. We want to know where Johnny is. But all kinds of calls are going to the office. Then you have to wait to get through, Or the teacher has to leave the room, go out in the hallway screaming for help, or knock on the classroom across the hallway. That teacher has to leave her room or his room. If you push that button, the alert goes immediately to the office, and it tells the office immediately where the emergency is, and the posse is on the way. It's not that big of a delay. I saw for myself going to schools for first day of school, saw the dome lights
right.
that are being put up for this. It is going to be an amazing.
You know what? I think the reason I thought you were doing this high-tech system is back in the old day, the pull the fire alarm and the intercom system, that would have people or the kids, that would have the kids exit the school. And with their, if there's an active shooter situation, isn't the best advice to stay closed up in the classroom? Now, I don't know what the protocol is, but well, if that's a fact, right, then you don't want all the kids going out in the hallway to leave the school, right?
And you don't want to create anxiety for other kids. You don't want to create anxiety for other kids it can be contained in one room. Yeah. If it's just a one-room thing, now, obviously, if the teacher, and there's so many pushes you can push for, like, high alert. If a shooter makes its way into a classroom, obviously there's going to be high alert.
Okay.
And then they're probably going to alert other classrooms shut down.
Okay.
But if Craig, just that classroom, let's just keep it contained there.
What'd you want to say there, Craig?
I wanted to say, what was that number you had for the dollar amount? 4 million?
Like 4.8.
Well, you say 4.9.
4.7. I heard it was. No, it was 4.8 or 4.76, somewhere around there.
Yes, Craig?
Based on that number, 4,760,000. Based on that number,
brain.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's 115 public schools in Washoe County. 115. So I take that number and divide it by 115. That's only $41,000 per school.
Okay.
So it's not lot per school.
I just thought,
there's 65,538 students enrolled in Washoe County for this school year so far.
You know, Life Alert is cheaper. No, it is.
I fall in and I can't get up.
It's the same thing.
But that's going to alert EMS or that. We want to alert. We first want to alert our in-house office staff and officers we have in the school, which I was behind this. I had the idea we need more police officers. We haven't increased our school police for 25 years, and we are.
I went on a big rant about this 2-3 weeks ago, and where I said that this is a great career to serve in, and it's a darn shame the media has so often made them the bad guys.
Yeah.
Boy, they catch a cop doing something wrong, and that video plays for all week. It's a disgrace how they've ruined the image of our law enforcement people. I don't want to get off topic here. I want you to stay for another segment because this is very interesting. And for every parent, it should be interesting. 884-9910 is our number if you want to call up and talk with Washoe County School Board member Colleen Westlake, talking Washoe County schools. I'm John Potter. We'll be right back. FM News Talk Time, 1047.
Fox at the top. Fox at the bottom. Live and local right now.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area on one radio station. Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
John Potter here with Washoe County School Board member Colleen Westlake, who was the underdog when she ran for the school board. And I like to think that your appearance on this show propelled you to a win.
Everything helped me. Everything. And I'm so appreciative.
Oh, we are so happy that you made it. Let's go to the phone. 884-9910. Questions for our school board member here in Washoe County. It's Winston on the phone, has a question for you, Colleen. Go ahead.
Hi, Winston.
Hey, good morning, guys. And I just will preface my call. This has become the best talk show in Reno because of John Potter. But, ma'am, I got a question for you. And I live in Damani Ranch, and I'm very proud to say our new J. Wood Raw Elementary is amazing. As we had Polakita,
it's beautiful,
and it's gorgeous. And I thank you for your service, because I think our Washoe County School District does an amazing job. They get a lot of criticism, a lot of heat. It gets hot and heavy with some of the parents criticizing, but you guys do an amazing job. Thank you. But my question is, with all the money, we have all these beautiful new homes being built and property taxes and all this great money. Are we able, will we be seeing a raise for our school from everything from teachers to bus drivers? Is that on the works?
It is in the works. We are currently in negotiations with the three representative organizations representing our wonderful teachers, principals, our tech for groups, and also for our psychologists. We're in negotiations right now, and I can tell you without any doubt whatsoever, I know we will come to an agreement, and it's going to take compromise on both sides, but on my side, which is the trustee side, I can tell you very, very strongly and affirmatively, we all want to give every worker, not just our educators, but every person that contributes to keeping our school district running, our nutrition servers, our janitorial, they're called something else now. Their chief something else, which they do so much more than just janitorial services anymore. I mean, they're an amazing group of individuals. We want to give them everything we possibly can. Money is not limitless, and we're thinking of every group when we're trying to get every group. The problem, Winston, is we've had some real short years, and I am so thankful that I didn't have to be a trustee during those times, because those individuals had to make just horrible, gut-wrenching decisions, like increasing the walk zones, which we were able to bring back and decrease this year because we have the extra funding. So we are very positive moving forward to try. Everybody's going to get a raise. I'm just going to say right now, I just can't say what that is because they're still in negotiations. But every trustee is like, give them the most that we can possibly give without bankrupting ourselves.
Winston, thanks for the call, sir.
Thank you, Winston.
Well, the way we nickel and dime such important things, like we nickel and dime our public schools. We nickel and dime the DMV. We nickel and dime not building affordable housing. Meanwhile, Biden, he's in Tahoe now. I hope he's listening.
Oh,
Biden,
God.
$115 billion to Ukraine. Just drives me crazy. And I keep thinking there's going to be a major, huge disaster in this country where we're going to need that money.
Mm-hmm.
We had a small scale, Maui, didn't seem like it was small, but I think compared to what's coming down the road, a huge disaster, we need to put the money here.
Right.
For the darn schools and for our government services.
Absolutely.
Which we're not getting it. Do kids still sometimes pull the fire alarm?
I haven't. My oldest is 30. He just turned 35 on August 15th. But it was an embarrassing story at the time. Now I can laugh, and it turned out to be a very positive experience. But when he was in first grade, I was actually out on the kindergarten playground with his younger brother. I was volunteering in the kindergarten class, and the fire alarm went off. And I don't know why, but it just went. His name is Bo, my oldest. And it came into my head, oh, Bobo, oh, Bobo. And sure enough, he had pulled in the lunchroom. He had pulled the fire alarm. He put the handle back up because he just wanted
like
to see.
Like real fast.
Yeah, he just wanted to see what would happen.
Well,
and
you know what?
It was
your own son. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank goodness nobody knew about this before they voted for you.
Yes,
your own son pulled the fire alarm.
The troublemaker.
When I was in school, they put the fear of God into us about pulling the fire alarm. We were told that the little white thing that you pull on the fire alarm had this powder on it, and they would know instantly by fingerprints which kid did it.
He didn't
and
leave
you would
the
go
scene.
To jail.
He didn't leave the scene of the crime. He stood right there. And Mr. Hertel was the principal at Bud Beasley. And right. when we got called into the office, I was already on site, so I went right to the yeah. office, and my husband came, and I said, Mr. Hertel, Bo said no one ever told him you can't touch that or pull it. And he goes, well, all the kids will know moving forward. Trust me.
Well, listen, you're getting some calls. Do you okay, mind awesome. Just another 10 minutes?
Oh, no. Oh, I would love
because I want to ask you about this Washoe County School District kickoff rally mm-hmm. that they had last week. And there are people who were not happy about that. You talked about, oh, the raises are coming for the teachers and everything. And I guess our superintendent got up there and made another vague promise and tied up these teachers with this horrendous rally where they had to spend hours there listening to a pep talk and ride in school buses and everything when teachers are at the most busy time right now putting together their class programs and such. Anyway, and there are other issues, but if you're a parent and your kids go to a Washoe County school, call now, 884-9910, because our school board member is here, Colleen Westlake. All right, I'm John Potter. We'll be back. FM News Talk Time, 1058.